Meredith Kasten is a non-clinical PT. What's that mean? Well, it's pretty much what we discussed this episode. She formed this website, thenonclinicalpt.com, when she reached a fork in her career. See, before coming to PT, she did something else. Then after she got to PT, she realized she could put her skills to use in a non-clinical role. And she's helping leverage that idea with PTs who want to be in non-clinical roles all across the world. Take a listen as we get inside what a non-clinical PT actually is and how you could become one. Episode is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for physical therapists who want to be a clinical PT and utilize blood flow restriction rehabilitation training in their clinical practice. Plus, they've got the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com and around the world teaching other PTs the ins and outs of BFR. They're the leaders in it. So check them online again at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Keep up with the show online, ptpinecast.com, and on the socials at ptpinecast.
Let's do this.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pinecast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Yeah, excited to do another episode today. We've featured several interviews on this program. From the person who designed this website, we're talking about thenonclinicalpt.com, and we bring in Meredith Kasten. Meredith, welcome to the show finally.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we've talked to several people on this program that you've featured in interviews on your website, and I mentioned it just a second ago. It's thenonclinicalpt.com. When I say that, I'm sure some heads kind of go a little bit to the side and they go, what does the non-clinical PT mean? So when you tell people, kind of what the name of your website is and what you do, how do you frame that? What do you tell someone when you're at a backyard barbecue and someone, of course, eventually asks the question, what do you do?
It's pretty much a plan B for the DPT. That's the really, really short version of
that.
It.
But I like it.
I mean, that's the backyard barbecue version. I have the elevator pitch and everything, but it's essentially just, it's a website with tons of resources for people who think, okay, maybe there's more to my career than direct patient care, whether they need to get out, whether they want to get out, whether it's a combination. Sometimes people move to a saturated market and they find that they can't find clinical care jobs, at least not ones that they want or that pay what they want. Pretty much your plan B. If you want to do something else with your career and it doesn't necessarily involve directly treating patients, I aim to be the number one resource, just all sorts of information, motivation, and the tools that you need to get there.
That's cool. Well, let's take a step back before we go forward. Talk about like kind of your story and how you got to where you are.
It all started, I went to PT as a second career, kind of like you, Jimmy. Actually, our stories are not super unlike each other because back as a second career at 28 is when I started PT school.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure it was going to be the perfect career for me. I mean, I was positive. I did all the shadowing. I did all the interviewing of the therapist. I didn't go into every setting, which was my main mistake, but I did. I worked in a bunch of clinics. I was an aide. I took all the prereqs and I just thought I was going to love treating patients. And what happened was I got out and I realized I enjoyed enough the actual patient care, but it was all the crap that goes along with it. You know,
right.
The documentation, the productivity, the being pulled. I found that I was getting pulled in a million different directions and it was so hard to keep everybody happy. And I'm a fundamental people pleaser. And so it's really hard to keep the patients, their families, the doctors, the nurses, your coworkers, your managers happy all at once. And so I just found it to be profoundly emotionally and physically taxing. And it was really kind of dramatic because at about 3 years in, I hit this wall where I was going, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do this till I'm 65.
Yeah.
This is a problem. Then it was time for me, it was a plan C because I'd already had my
right.
plan B that was PT.
Well, what was your A? What was your career before you came to PT?
It was graphic and web design. So I used to work for a company here in San Diego called Einstein Industries, which people always confuse with a bagel company. It's completely different. And then I took a job with a smaller company called Achieve Internet. I loved working with them. I loved the design. I loved the idea of working on a team, but I felt like I was constantly just sitting and rotting in my desk. And so
yeah.
I was thinking, oh, I love the helping people aspect of it, but I didn't feel like I was making really a profound difference in anybody's life. It was all just kind of kind of, oh, here, I'll make your website look prettier.
You were checking the boxes. You were getting someone done.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like you said, our stories are similar. I was working at a radio station. You know, the listeners were happy. We were giving away beer and T-shirts. And, you know, the local businesses that advertised with us, they had success. But I was like, just kind of want a little more. And, very similar.
Yes.
You know, kind of jumped into PT. I don't know. Maybe I'm the kind of person who jumps into things. But definitely love the profession still and wanted to be around it. And sometimes that happens. And if it didn't happen enough, your website wouldn't have anybody coming to, number one, be a guest and be interviewed and have the resource and give resources. But number two, you had to have people come and read and look into it.
Right. That's the crazy thing about it is when I put the website up, it was a one-page site because I was working at the time. I was working with New Ground Physical Therapy and Covalent, and I was working as their head of content. That was sort of how I was able to get out and carve this non-clinical career. I simultaneously got a job as a rehab liaison, which was PRN, at the same time that Brett was like, hey, you want to start out this website for new grad PTs? So I was kind of working on these two different jobs, PRN, and just sort of not really finding my footing in either, but just exploring what it was like to use my skills outside of the clinic. And what ended up happening is when I was with NGPT and Covalent, I had so many people reaching out to me, asking me, okay, how did you... Yeah. You know, we would try to get them jobs through Covalent, and then they would always want to talk with me. Not all of them, but quite a few would want to talk. And they were like, I kind of want to find out how to do something more like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not really in patient care at all. And so when I ultimately ended up leaving Covalent, I realized that I had probably at that point like 30 or 40 people I had chatted with who I was just sort of informally mentoring them and coaching them. And I knew when I left Covalent that they were going to have nowhere to go, that was it. You know, it was like the end of the road for them. So I set up this one-page website, and that's how it all started. And then incidentally, it got so crazy. I optimized it because I'm like an SEO nerd. So of course, I search optimized this page. So if someone put into Google, I want to leave patient care, or the other terms that I was using, like non-clinical PT, that they would land at this page, and it had links to all the different articles I had written on the topic, which were plentiful at that point because they always say, write what you know. So when I was with NGPT, I used to just write about that. And so I just put all these articles on one page and a contact form, kind of like, hey, if you still have questions, I'm here. And it was like the biggest, in the short term, mistake I could have made, but it was a blessing in the long run because initially I just got bombarded with all of these people reaching out, being like, oh, I want help. I need help. What do I do? And so then I went from like 40 people I was helping to probably 70 or 80. I was doing it all just pro bono on top of my full-time job. And that's when I realized I had to kind of monetize it and make it into more of a business.
There was a thing. You knew it was a thing.
Yeah. It was a thing. It was crazy how much of a thing it was. So.
Yeah, I like how you're saying, you know, people were coming, and just for people who don't know, like newgrad, physicaltherapy.com and, you know, Covalent job search. I mean, how would you best describe that?
Initially started out where Covalent was a job search platform for optometrists, and we were like the next expansion for the CEO's vision as far as getting into allied health. And so we started NewGrad Physical Therapy. Initially, I wasn't even really privy to this when I got started. I just knew we were starting a website to help new grad PTs succeed.
Right.
And so it turned out it was all kind of part of this big vision of careers and job matching. And that really feeds into what I love anyway, because my sister's a career counselor and I've always had this kind of like career nerd side to myself. And so it worked out really well because they were like, we really want this to be career focused. And so for me, I was like, awesome. I'm like a resume nerd and a cover letter dork and everything. And so it was a great match. And then just ultimately I did end up leaving because they wanted to stay very much into career placement from like a clinical side. And I had said many times, oh, I would love to do this non-clinical thing. And they were like, that's a great idea, but it's just not part of our business model.
Right.
And it was like, fair enough, you know, very amicable split. And so it's cool now though, because when I see people who need some help with getting into like a different clinical realm, then obviously I just kind of send them off that way. And then they send them my way if someone goes, oh, I really don't want to stay in patient care at all. I want to go non-clinical. So it's pretty symbiotic and everything. And
that's cool.
They're actually like 8 blocks from where I live. So nice. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Well, it's a true to life example of, you know, you had people calling you and talking to you when you were at Covalent developing content, and they wanted to hear more about your story. And obviously it resonated with, you know, more than a few people, which is people in therapy who maybe want to do something else, maybe part-time, maybe full-time and take the leap. And that's why the episode we released earlier this week was with Sarah Beth Burke. And she is an individual who has studied a PhD on hybridity and really this Venn diagram. And that's why I literally saw these two interviews together. So if you're listening now, you got to go back one and listen to Sarah Beth. She was fantastic because I don't know if you felt this, but I always felt weird. I felt like the skills that I had in radio definitely were never going to translate when I was sitting in class in PT school. And then I got to really the subjective part of, I think, ortho, where we're interviewing patients. And that part came supernatural to me because I interviewed people my entire life in my entire radio life. And then I realized, oh, because I don't have that kinesiology degree, I probably do have to work a little harder than some of my classmates who'd studied that for 4 years when I didn't. But this part, this thing I've been doing for 15 years, this is a big part of being a PT. And then later on in my career, I did look the same thing. Hey, what if I'm not a full-time clinical physical therapist? Could I do these other things? Would it still help individuals either inside or outside of the profession? And again, that's where our stories kind of stay right in lockstep, which is now you are with the nonclinicalpt.com. So tell people a little bit about what they get when they land there and what kind of things you can do with them and for them.
Sure. When I started the site, my original mission was just to provide as much information as possible. I create a blog once a week. I come out with either a spotlight, which you've been featured, and we can actually link to that in the show notes if you do that. But I've got a great feature with you, which I'd love to update. But these non-clinical spotlights of people, when I find them either through LinkedIn or through Facebook or just through people connecting me directly, and sometimes they even find my site. But if I find someone who's got a really interesting, unique career, whether it's semi-clinical or non-clinical, then I really try to delve deep and get some great information from them, kind of pick their brains and find out how did they get there? What did they do? What's their story? A lot like what you're doing with the podcast. And I just do it in written form. So I publish those once a week, and I try to do 3 spotlights per month and then one more informative article. So for example, the one this month is going to be home modifications. Mm-hmm. And a couple of months ago, it was driver rehab. Sometimes it's just a generic, like non-clinical jobs for OTs or for PTs or for assistants, that kind of thing. So I just try to put out one piece of really solid informative content per week. If people do want to sign up, I have a free course that you can get to. It's at the main page of my website, just the nonclinicalpt.com. So it's just a free mini course that you can go through that teaches you just some things about your resume, about cover letters and things like that. Just the basics that you need to know when you're making a transition from clinical to non-clinical. Because as it turns out, we do have all the skills, I'm sure, and I'm singing to the choir by telling you this because you know this.
Yeah.
We already have those problem-solving skills. We have the diagnostic skills. We're used to answering to multiple stakeholders. We're used to utilizing limited resources. And there are just all these things, negotiation, sales. We have all of these skills. It's just a question of taking a non-clinical job listing and saying, okay, if I'm applying cold to this listing along with all these other people, how do I spin my skills? How do I make my resume reflect that? How do I talk in the language of this hiring manager and explain to them that yes, my background is physical therapy and it's clinical, but I'm very much excellent. You know, you're excellent at time management as a PT. You have to be with productivity. Yeah, I mean, we've been meeting quotas, all those things. So it's just a question of tailoring your resume and tailoring your application materials and networking and all of those things that kind of sound gross to us as therapists.
Right.
We really didn't have to do that. Most of us could kind of walk into a job from our clinicals or at least ask a friend to pass along the resume and you're hired. And so it's really just playing the game. And that's what the free mini course is just going through.
That's cool.
Just those basics. Yeah. And then if people want to upgrade, I do have a full on kind of everything you need, all the nuts and bolts with all the examples and the downloads and the templates and the informational interview templates and the negotiation strategies and the interviewing and all that. And so that's with my premium flagship course, and that's called Non-Clinical 101.
That's cool. A lot of things from what you were just talking about there kind of excited me. Number one, you mentioned that we actually are, as in therapists, PTs, OTs, SLPs, we are good at sales, because what you're doing is you're selling your promotion. And although I know that S word, that sales word, gets like it gets this negative connotation. It makes people feel icky and they want to take a shower. But you promoting, like my dad, 5 minutes before I talk to you, my dad called me and he says, and because my dad, of course, only pays attention to me when he needs something, which is probably what I did when I was a kid with him too. So a turnabout is fair play. But my dad just called and he goes, "Hey, my friend is exhibiting these symptoms. Who does he need to go to see?" And I was like, I paused and I said, "A physical therapist would be fantastic." He's really? So you're constantly selling. I mean, me educating my father is selling. Those two things go hand in hand. If you think that sales, you might not be teed up for that or something, I can tell you from firsthand experience, especially in radio, working hand in hand with salespeople, just being a clear communicator, time management skills, those are things you have as a PT. Those can translate directly into sales.
Oh, 100%. And sales is one of those ones that I've noticed people will often take the plunge and they don't set themselves up for success. And then they kind of like tail between the legs, go back to patient care. I've had a number of people come through where they say, "Oh, I tried sales 10 years ago. It was terrible." But the thing is, it's like anything else. If you tried to go be a PT without going through, you might have the brain to be a PT. You have all the skills. You might know how to be a PT, but you have to know how to connect with patients. You still need to build. And that's what I always tell people with sales is, don't go into a sales job without reading a single book about sales, without really putting yourself through a little bit of boot camp. There are a lot of different resources out there that are pretty low cost. You can go on to sites like Udemy. They have sales courses. There are all these different books that actually spotlight soon with someone who went into a role that's essentially a sales role. It's called Specialty Program Manager, and it's coming out in like 2 weeks. But she'd be another great one to chat with on the show, because she's kind of unlike some of the other people you've spotlit. She said, I mean, basically as a salesperson, yes, you have those skills going in as a PT, but I think for a lot of us, and it's essentially a sales role, but it's kind of it's also a care transition type of role. It's sales dominant. She was telling me in the spotlight, basically, you know, I landed this role, but I had no idea how to do sales, is what she said. And so she went out and she learned through reading a bunch of books, through taking courses. And so that's what I'd like to tell people when they want to go into sales is, yes, you can do it. I mean, anyone who has been a PT, kept a patient on their roster for more than a couple of weeks, they have sold.
100%.
And so you basically just need to translate that into, okay, you know what you're selling as a therapist. You know how to sell therapy because you know therapy. When you're trying to sell a product, you need to understand the product and believe in it, and then also understand how that makes someone else's life easier.
Right.
And if you can sell someone on the idea that their life will get better because of this product, you can sell. And I think that's what a lot of therapists are scared of doing, is essentially convincing somebody else that their life will be better because they use the product.
Sure.
But then I feel like if you can't do that, then you have to take a close look. Do you believe in this product?
Right. Because literally going to follow up with that is, it also matters the thing you're selling, right? If you truly, if you're selling something that you don't believe in, that comes across. But if you're, the opposite is true as well.
Exactly. And I think for a lot of us too, as therapists, why it's so hard to sell our own services is that we're used to selling physical therapy, but we're not used to selling me, Meredith, as a physical therapist. I'm used to saying, "Oh, PT is so effective," but it's you then have to flip the switch and say, "Okay, well now all of a sudden as a therapist, I'm selling me as their best option," and that's where we get uncomfortable and squirmy. And then that's where you have to start thinking, okay, do I really believe in myself as a therapist? Do I believe in myself as the solution to this problem?
Right.
And so that's where I think a lot of therapists go wrong, and that we're deviating a little bit, and I apologize if I'm taking too much of a tangent, but one thing I've noticed is a lot of therapists, their first sales role, they end up getting sucked into sort of sketchy ones where it's maybe just a 1099 thing. They don't really get any training. They don't even know what they're selling half the time.
Right.
They're just trying to sell some kind of fly-by-night product. So of course they're gonna fail because they don't know the product. No one really has taught them the product. They haven't taken the initiative sometimes to learn the product. And especially, I mean, even if you know the product inside and out, do you really understand your market, your audience? And do you understand how this is going to make their life easier or better? Because if not, it doesn't matter if the product is the best thing on earth. You just don't know how to tell someone what they really care about, what's in it for me. I hate to say it, but that's what most people care about.
Sure.
Patients.
Yeah, no, I'm the most important person in this conversation. Me, me, me. How can I benefit from it? And how will this make my life better? If you lose focus of that, you're not going to be able to sell or convince or lead someone to better therapy. I mean, these things go hand in hand.
Exactly.
What are some of the highlights that you've seen in terms of interesting things people have either come from to PT or gone to as a non-clinical PT? What are some of the interesting roles that come to mind?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. I've seen really, really cool ones. I would say, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the phone right now, but yours is one of the more interesting ones. I would say the most interesting, unique ones are always the people who kind of went to PT as a second career and then came full circle and somehow blended the two.
Right.
For their career. That's always the most interesting. And I guess probably there's like a self-centeredness to it where I'm going, oh, that's a lot like my story. So it's interesting. Yeah, of course. But I also find a lot of the really interesting ones are the ones who go into roles that typically are meant for nurses. So it's been really cool to see a lot of different PTs go into nurses roles. I don't want to call them nurses roles, but for example, that specialty program manager role typically goes to nurses. There are other ones, clinical liaison, in many cases, a care transitions coordinator is another one, where a lot of times these roles go to nurses because what happens is hospital system goes, okay, we need to improve discharge planning and we need to make it a seamless transition to prevent readmissions into hospitals. Well, who's the best for that? That's obviously going to be a nurse because they know the medications. But then it's really interesting because sometimes they'll say nurse or PT. Hmm. And it's interesting that they don't always include OT because I would argue that an OT has the same abilities that a PT does as far as discharge planning. But they'll have a PT go into these roles. And then it's super interesting because PTs tend to be really, really good at these roles. Where we fall short with the medications, it's not always that big of a deal because they know how to go to the case managers and they know how to go to the nurses with those questions because we're so used to planning discharge from the hospital that we already know. We already go, okay, I know that this is going to be an issue, that IV medications might be an issue. So I need to go check with the case manager or the nurse. And if they don't know, it's one of those things where it's pretty easy to teach them to fill in the blanks there. But what we bring to the table there is we really have this deep understanding of what patients need physically and from assistive device and adaptive equipment perspective. So we might say, yeah, they're pretty independent, but all of their stuff is on the second floor. Has anyone thought about stair training? And so it really does make a huge difference with hospital readmissions. And I heard this really fascinating webinar on MedBridge recently with this guy named Jason Falvey.
Going to bring Jason up. That's his thing. He plants his flag in is reducing hospital readmission. Yeah, smart dude.
Oh my gosh. It was so great. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever chatted with him. He's great. Yep. He would be a great person to chat with. Okay, perfect. But I just thought it was so fascinating because he dove so deep into that topic and how important we are. Anyone who's considering taking any of those, I call it kind of the case management family of job where you've got care transitions coordinators, clinical liaison, rehab liaison, some are ingoing, some are outgoing. As far as what you represent, are you representing patients coming into the facility versus going out? But we have a seat at the table for any of those jobs. And the way he was expressing them on that webinar, I was thinking anyone who wants to take that direction just needs to sit down and listen to that webinar because there was just so much great information that even if you don't know it all and you haven't done it all, being able to talk about that in an interview, I feel like we all know that that's what matters, but we don't always know how to sit in an interview and say, I understand that the crux of this role is preventing readmissions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about safe discharge planning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about this and that and all these buzzwords. But at the end of the day, if you understand again what the problem is for the hospital that you're trying to solve, you are trying to solve their problem of readmissions. So if you can express that in your interview, you're golden. And he did such a good job with that webinar. I don't even know if he was trying to paint that picture, but me with my brain, that's what I got from it. I was like, God, this is gold.
Well, I think he sees that as a physical therapist, and I just had him on an interview not long ago, and we're going to have him back very shortly, so stay tuned for that. But he even highlighted how he's in a program right now in Yale, and he had to contact the IT department because there was never a physical therapist in his department, so he couldn't actually get his email signature to say PT, which just shows that PTs haven't been in some roles, as you just mentioned, too, that those roles that are, quote, nursing roles, but we're making inroads there. People are finally starting to share stories like you're doing at your website, and now that you the famous example is Roger Bannister, right? The 4-minute mile was impossible. No one was ever going to do it. And then the minute Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, next thing you know, everybody's running 4-minute miles.
Yes.
People just have to know it's possible.
Yep. So, amen. And yeah. Honestly, we have to make it possible, because in so many cases, I'm constantly calling out my alma mater for this, but it makes me crazy. They have a program called Nurse Informatics at University of St. Augustine. And I'm always thinking to myself, come on, call it health informatics, call it clinical informatics. Yeah. Don't call it nurse informatics. I get it now because I've looked more into the program, and I think they're offering some sort of advanced nursing degree. So they've got a rationale behind it. But I think as therapists, we're the problem solvers. We're the ones who have seen clinical workflows from an entire perspective of allied health. And yes, nurses have great insight for what nurses need, but they don't have great insight for what PTs need. Only PTs do. And OTs do. And even speech therapists, I would argue they have their own clinical workflow. So why on earth would we not be taking these clinical informatics roles? The only thing I can think of is that, yes, in many cases, it's like a how we've been doing it thing.
Right.
In terms of the hospital goes, okay, well, obviously a nurse would do that. It's not going to, in many cases, pay high enough for a physician. Although, side note, many physicians are going into those roles now. But they just don't think of us for those roles. So we really need to be advocating. That's one of the things that I've got in progress on my site. I have an advocacy page I'm working on where we have all, I'm going to have template letters and form letters for people to literally take off my site when they see a job and they're like, there is no Medicare mandate saying that this needs to go to an RN. It's just a case of how we've always done it, ITIS. And then they can just download a letter, fill in the blanks, and send it to the CEO and the hiring manager of their hospital. Even though it's just like small step, it's a little bit of grassroots effort. I've done it a number of times and gotten people to change their job description.
It takes a couple, right? Carly Lloyd kicking 55-yard field goals. Well, females don't play in the NFL. Why? Because they've never done it? Because she just walked on TV and dropped 55-yard field goals like it was going out of style, and then people started thinking, well, maybe she could. Well, she's already doing it. So, yeah, so I love that. Maybe this is how we've always done it, ITIS.
Oh, yeah, and it's just, like, endemic in the healthcare world. And nurses, I mean, they're wonderful people. They have a huge lobby. They, in many cases, Medicare is saying, oh, we need a nurse in this role. So that's why you'll see state-by-state differences.
Right.
So you'll see in some states, care transitions coordinators can only be nurses. And then in other states, they can be nurses and PTs. And it's all about just kind of lobbying. And so we have a group in the APTA. It's a catalyst group within the HPA section. The HPA section and the technology special interest group. I always have to get the terminology right. But we have a little catalyst group, which is not so little anymore. But it's a group of people that are committed to getting the APTA to help us actually do the high level, like the top down advocacy. And then my site, the advocacy page, which is like 90% done, I hope to have it done by the time this thing is released. It's got links to the planning group for that. It's got steps to sign up for the different advocacy groups in the APTA and the AOTA. They've got one forming too. And then just having those form letters so that people can take those steps. I think for a lot of people, going through the APTA feels really, really daunting. And I get it, because I can't even keep the levels straight. I don't know what's a SIG versus a section versus a catalyst group. So for a lot of people, they're like, okay, it's too much work to advocate through them. But I want people, no matter where you are, whether you want to be active in the APTA, whether you want to do grassroots, whether you want to just send a letter because you're pissed because you're like, I applied for this job and it said nurses only and I never got a call back. But I want everybody to have what they need at their fingers to make change. I'm so sick of like how we've always done it, ITIS, and whatever we were talking about. It just makes me crazy because why should that be the status quo? Why should we put up with that? Especially given the debt that we get into become PTs, and the fact that we are DPTs and we were promised all this autonomy and all these options.
You only get one go around, man. You only get one go around. You know, if you're sitting there waiting for someone to call you up because you think that they've recognized your skill set from afar, you got to kick the door in first. I'm sorry, but you have to.
You do.
Yeah. I get to talk with my other role that I kind of meld together for my career besides hosting the show is I get to work with Fox Rehabilitation, and I get to go and talk in front of colleagues. And Tim Fox, the CEO, brings me up there. And he puts up on the screen a fake classified ad that our graphics department made, and it said, wanted physical therapist/radio DJ. And I was like, listen, the reason we put this on the screen is because there wasn't one of these. I created it. I sat there and I said, what are the things I want to do every day? I got to go make that for myself. So, you know, making it completely for yourself might be one end of the spectrum, but yes, in the middle of that spectrum could be finding a role that's traditionally filled by other healthcare providers like nurses or physicians or OTs. But if you're qualified, like if you meet the qualifications, there's no reason you shouldn't have that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we need to be advocating for ourselves at every moment. I mean, people don't even know what PT is. They think we're personal trainers.
Yeah.
So if the general public doesn't know who we are, how can we expect the general medical population to really have a much better idea?
They're not going to open a door for us.
Right.
At Non-Clinical PT on Twitter, on Instagram, The Non-Clinical PT, and in the website, thenonclinicalpt.com. Mm-hmm. Meredith, are you ready to answer three questions?
Sure.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right, three questions brought to you by our sponsors from Arias Medical Staffing. I think this whole episode goes hand in hand too with what Arias does. They help PTs find jobs in any setting they want, wherever they want. So if you want to stay in clinical practice, you can do that. But make sure instead of just setting, you can do it where you want to do, right? I mean, you don't want to stay locked in clinical care unless you want to be there. But if you do, don't only do it somewhere geographically because you think you have to. You have a license. That license lets you do whatever you want. So positions in all 50 states in all settings. They also help out with things that come up once you start to be a travel PT, which is like taxes, like where do you pay your taxes and how do you find housing and CEUs and licensure. They've got people for all that. They've been doing this for a couple of decades. So Arias online at AURUSmedical.com. That's AURUSmedical.com. The first question on three questions, Meredith, is a where question. Where would you want to go if you could do your non-clinical PT thing somewhere else in the country for a couple months? You can just go pick up and be there. Where in the U.S. wouldn't you mind doing that?
Oh my gosh, probably Asheville, North Carolina. I love it. It's such a great little mountain town. Right now I live in San Diego and I love it here, but we are in a perpetual state of spring, which means that I turned 40 and I don't know where the last 15 years went. It's so weird.
Wow. Perpetual.
I just want to go somewhere with seasons.
Perpetual spring, Meredith. Man, that sounds horrible. Everybody in the rest of the country just said, get this girl out of here. Second question on three questions from Arias is a what question. What's something that you've watched or read or downloaded, listened to, a book, a movie, podcast, something, anything that gave you inspiration?
Oh, gosh. I would say probably a book called Building a Story Brand.
Oh, because, great one. Yes.
Oh, yes. I love it so much. For me, it just helped me really clarify my message. And what the author says is your message needs to be so simple that a caveman can come to your website and understand what you do in like 5 seconds. And I think that's the biggest mistake that most entrepreneurs make. And it's to the detriment of you and to the people you're trying to help with what you're putting out there. So I just love that book. I recommend any entrepreneur read it, but even any therapist who is just trying to clarify what PT is. It's a great book.
Yeah, I think if we read that book, if a profession could read a book collectively and put the skills that we learn into it, that would be one of the books I would put up there.
I like
the point from that one was if you're telling a story, you can't be the Luke Skywalker because then the audience reading it doesn't know where they fit. You need to be Yoda. So you need to, if you're a physical therapist, you need to be Yoda because then the prospective patient can put themselves in the story and go, oh, I get it. Yoda's going to help me learn how to do this with the lightsaber and then lift X-Wings out of the swamp. I get it. And that was such a mind shift because a lot of advertising that I see puts the PT as the hero. If you're the hero, man, I don't know where I fit. And I remember just thinking like, wow, that resonated with me. So Building a Story Brand, great, great read.
Yeah.
Third question on three questions. There we go. Is a who question. Who's someone inside the profession or outside the profession, doesn't matter, that is doing great things that the audience should know more about?
Oh, okay. So I want to come up with someone who people don't already know about. She's already been on your podcast, but I do want people to know how much Ellen Bunn has been doing in the telehealth world. Also, honestly, Rob Vining, too. The two of them, I feel that they are coming at it from kind of different directions, but telehealth has such a huge future. And I consider that a non-clinical career because yes, you are still working with patients, but it's completely hands-off. And one of the main reasons people leave patient care is that it becomes physically taxing. It's not necessarily the other factors. It's really just the physical burden. And the steps that both of them are taking to improve the access and to advocate. You know, Rob's coming at it from, he's talking with senators, and Ellen's building all of this infrastructure at the company that she works at to really build formalized programs and not just have it be kind of the Wild West. I think both of them just following what they're doing would be incredibly helpful. And I expect that within the next 5 years, we're going to be in a completely different spot. I might even argue in the next year or two, we're going to be in such a completely different place in telehealth.
Whenever I hear people say this will never happen, I always go, oh, really? Metallica against Napster. Tell me more about that as I pick up my iPhone and listen to literally any song I want in the world for $10 a month. So whenever someone says like telehealth and physical therapy, that'll just never work. I sit down and go, are you selling stock? Because I'll buy some. Because whenever the old dudes in the room start going never, I start going, this is pretty much certain now. But yes, absolutely. Rob Vining is a great resource for that as well. Got a couple of Facebook groups for telehealth as well.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
You're off the hot seat. That's three questions. So relax, take a deep breath. That's from Aureus Medical Staffing. Again, want to thank them for being a longtime supporter of the show. If you're looking to travel the country doing this thing that you want to do, whatever shape or form that might be in, check them online at AureusMedical.com. Last thing we do on the program is actually your parting shot. Let's do that now.
This is the parting shot.
All right, Meredith, focus now. All right, focus. Your parting shot is your chance for your mic drop moment, kind of that elevator speech that you said in terms of explaining what you do. What's the like? What's the elevator speech or what's the last sentiment you'd want to leave the audience with today in terms of a non-clinical career, how they should look at it?
I think it is a natural evolution of our career as a PT. We are so poised to step into healthcare's biggest problems and actually solve them. We have problem-solving brains. We're extremely good at using resources when we don't have access to many resources. We are super efficient. We can switch our perspective on a dime. We are just so incredibly good at taking multiple stakeholders and saying, okay, I need to make you happy and you happy and you happy, and being able to actually do that. And these are the problems that people have a hard time solving in healthcare because they don't have the perspective of working with patients, or they don't have the perspective of having to work within the actual existing kind of broken healthcare structure. Yeah. If we can take what we know and we can then move into these non-clinical leadership roles and operations and management and leadership and discharge planning. I mean, we didn't even touch on things like utilization review, but if we can take our skills and move into those roles, then we're advocating on numerous levels. We're not just advocating for our patients, which we are. We are advocating for better care, for a less broken system, but we're also advocating for PT because we're putting ourselves into the eyes of these kind of upper echelon of medical professionals where we've never gotten a chance to be in the past. And we're elevating ourselves there, and we're saying, look at what we're capable of doing. We have a doctorate, and look at how good we are at solving problems.
Yeah.
So I actually think it's phenomenal for us to do this. There has traditionally been a bit of a stigma about, you know, against leaving patient care. When people leave, people say, oh my gosh, what a waste of your education. Why wouldn't you want to treat patients? You're abandoning your patients. You're not good. This and that, you're a failure. And I think it's insane that we aren't promoted into these roles, that people aren't saying, oh my gosh, please go work in operations, go work in discharge planning. That should be something that we are encouraging every new grad, every student to consider in their future. Because what ends up happening when we don't do that is people are like, all right, I guess there's nothing left for me here. I'll go get my real estate license, or I'll go be, you know, they leave the profession. And what a shame. What a shame. After all the time. Yeah.
Well said.
Got to stay in it.
Well,
advocate.
Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. Do want to thank those guys for supporting the show as well. More than just a tape company, a movement company, the education, the tools to help you have your patients move longer, stronger. Find them online at rocktape.com, as well as their Rock Stock event, which happens annually, usually on a beach somewhere nice like San Diego sometimes. So visit them online at rocktape.com. They also have discounts for physical therapists and other medical providers. You can use your rehab experience and training in new ways. You do have the skills to move beyond direct patient care. You will find work you love without starting from scratch. And those are just three quotes from the nonclinicalpt.com. Meredith, thanks so much for taking some time out and talking with us on the show and kind of giving us a little more insight into that whole world, which I think is opening up for people in non-clinical PT.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It was really fun.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.